Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay, Ellen Pompeo, Taylor Swift, Martha Hunt, Jessica Alba, Soraya, I don't know who that is, Karlie Kloss,
She's famous.
Kendrick Lamar,
He's famous.
Lena Dunham,
She's famous.
Haley Steinfeld,
She's famous.
Ellie Goulding,
Not famous.
Gigi Hadid,
Not famous.
Haley
Very
Williams,
famous.
Zendaya,
This is dumb. Stop
Lily
doing this. Are you serious?
Aldridge. Yeah, Doug, we don't want to hear this. Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of your favorite podcast, This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. This is a podcast where we talk about the week in videos, we talk about new videos, music video news, etc. We talk about surgery, of course, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger in the Vimeo offices, I believe, in New York. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. Damn, still kill him softly. We are in the Vimeo offices.
So was that a rap? So was that a lyric to like a recent rap song, or are you just talking about the Fugees song from 20 years ago?
That is Iggy Azalea's first line in Pretty Girls.
Ooh, okay, I missed that. All right, and then with you is Andrea Allen.
What up?
Director of production at Vimeo. I wanted to mention you next because you're probably sitting physically next to Doug. So that's
I
important.
Am. Yeah, I'm right here, sitting
here
next to Doug, who for some reason took off all of his clothes.
We asked. I sent an email earlier today specifically asking him not to do that. I'm sorry, Andrea.
No, it's all good. I'm just, you know.
It's warmer than I anticipated.
Yeah, he's complaining about the heat in this little office.
Right.
But whatever.
And then somebody who takes their clothes off, hot or cold, doesn't really matter. Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix. Adam, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. I'm relaxed. I'm wearing some clothes. I'm wearing my unicorn onesie.
Good.
All right. Well, that's pretty.
Nice.
That's pretty chill.
You know, that's good because when you grow out of it, you can just cut it, and it becomes like a nice outfit, a unicorn outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tip and trick. We're all about tips and tricks on this podcast.
They're called rompers, right? Okay.
Rompers are not in fashion anymore, are they?
Because no, they are.
They're definitely
in
fashion.
Okay. That's important.
Oh my God, Doug, you're putting on a romper right now.
Yeah, no, I got one. I was saving it. I was waiting for that to be brought up.
Doug's always got a romper in his backpack somewhere.
And keep him around.
Just like, so last time you were on the podcast, we had a pretty amazing slate of music videos to talk about, which was a lot of fun. And, you know, we go up and down on the podcast, you know, based on the kind of videos that are released this week. And this week we have I think we have one of our best lineups of music videos.
It's all over the map.
Year. Definitely, all over the map. From
but a lot of good stuff to talk about. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's just going to be a chatty podcast.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be one of those podcasts where we talk.
Before we talk about that, we want to mention that we our music video database, and part of the database is music video festivals.
That's it.
There is one that we wanted to specifically mention that has a call for entries open right now, and that is Music Video Festival Brazil. The actual name is Music Video Festival, but the key salient point is it is in Brazil. And
that is a very key element. It is, I mean, they got the name. I mean, they're named what they are.
Exactly.
Which is very important.
And on the jury for this Music Video Festival is going to be Daniel Askell, who you will know from directing Sia music videos from last year and this year, including Elastic Heart and am I forgetting the name of the first one?
Chandelier.
Oh, geez. Okay. Thank you for saving me.
How could you?
Sounds like you did forget.
I did forget a little bit. I could see it in my head. I could probably do the whole dance, but I can't.
Have you been doing the 1-2-3 drink right now? Is that?
I am doing the 1-2-3 drink.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't even. You don't even have to wait to three.
not on the IMDb podcast.
Doug, you mentioned that there's going to be like something from the Daniel Askell's see a series at the festival?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what they've got, but I think they've got some cool stuff related to the making of those videos and some you know, never before seen, I think, behind the scenes cool artifacts and elements that will be there at the fest, which will be pretty unique.
So go to musicvideofestival.com/BR, and BR is for Brazil, which is kind of neat. There's you know, we've seen like a huge proliferation, excuse me, of music video festivals around the world, really, in every country, from, you know, tons of ones in Europe, now South America. Of course, we have some great festivals here, including the LA Music Video Festival. And next week we will have, spoiler alert, someone or some people from the LA Music Video Festival.
Are all these festivals happening because of you guys?
Yeah, definitely. Well, to trace this back, the first week we started IMVDB, we basically spent the whole week licking envelopes and handwriting notes to just random people in different countries saying,
just suggesting, like, yeah, all right, we're around now, so yeah, if you were thinking about a music video festival,
or need to think about a music festival, yeah, maybe you should think
we're
about
here
it.
Now,
yeah.
The only one that started with that started on its own was the LA Music Video Fest thing. That's unrelated to us in terms of inception.
But all of these other ones are totally definitely because of us. And we told them, and
said South by Southwest.
Yeah, we told them every music video festival you put on, you need to send us a crisp $10 bill. And that is how we fund the site.
And then it's weird because then we turn around and send it right back. We don't keep it. We just thanks for the $10 bill and then immediately return it. It's more of like we're just trying to support the Postal Service.
Right, yeah.
Honorable.
The band and the actual service.
Right.
The Postal Service gets a cut of that.
We send
well.
The pictures of take a picture of the $10 bill and then send it to the band Postal Service. I want to say the Twitter account of Music Video Festival, and that is at MVF_BR. So if you're more of a Twitter person and less of a websiter.
MBR stands for Brazil.
Yeah, I think we established. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in this case,
it continues. I like really want to go see Daniel Askill and see his stuff. I'm probably going to go to Brazil for this.
Are you sure?
Sao Paulo.
So you're going to take time off work? You didn't? Did you run that by your boss?
No. But this I feel like is
okay. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
You guys have a whole floor of HR in the Vimeo building. Absolutely. So many
people.
I feel like when you get called to HR, like, you got to take an elevator. And I feel like it's a big deal. So, Doug, you're getting called into HR. You're trying to take time off without running it by anybody. It's an issue.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
So we have, as I mentioned, a pretty interesting watch list. This is actually the first week I think I can remember seeing a music video like all over my business, all over all of like the websites that I look at.
Is that what you call websites that you look at? Your business?
Yeah, my business. Yeah.
Business stands for Brazil.
Yeah. Business, yeah. I take my lunch break and I'm like, all right guys, I gotta look at my business, and I open, you know, all my dumb websites like Huffington Post and stuff, which I still look at for some reason.
Chat roulette,
and everybody's talking about one video, and that is Britney Spears featuring Iggy Azalea, Pretty Girls. Directed by somebody who has two music videos co-directed by very large stars.
Yeah.
And that is Mr. Cameron Duddy, who has been on this podcast and who we, weirdly enough, animated a story out of a part of that podcast.
I actually just watched that 2 days ago. We definitely will link that in the show notes. It's actually like one of the things that I'm most pleased with that has come out of the IMVDB original content box, and that's three videos total, and I like it better than the dumb one we shot in LA.
Andrew, have you ever seen the video we went to LA to shoot?
Yes, I have.
She only watched the second part, though. She doesn't have any of the context.
I'm refusing to watch the first part.
That's a very good idea.
It's more because you just hate Hero Mariah and you knew he was in.
No.
Right.
Not at all.
No, but she really didn't. She just wanted to see Michael Q. Schmidt naked with pancakes on him. She's like, send me to wherever that is.
For anybody who doesn't understand what we're talking about, Doug and I went in 2012 for God knows what reason to LA. We went to LA, but for some reason we decided we needed to shoot a video there, and which made the whole trip 100 million times more difficult.
And frustrating.
Yeah, and frustrating. And part of that included having director Matt Wells.
Who used to work at Vimeo.
Put pancakes and other breakfast foods, which I picked up from an IHOP near a hotel, all over Michael Q. Schmidt's nude body. Michael Q. Schmidt of Tim and Eric fame and many music videos.
And many music videos. He's a very active user. Big ups to Q. Schmidt. I just need to mention that the IHOP people were lovely.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They provided us all.
How do you know? I went and picked it up.
Yeah, but you told them. You told me, and you weren't going to say it, and it needed to be said. Hmm. Yeah. So,
thank you for that to the IHOP on.
Big ups to the IHOP. They gave us all these. They gave us all these forks and shit, and all these individual. Syrups, and we didn't need that shit.
No.
It's like, no, ma'am, you don't understand. All these pancakes are going on a human man.
Yeah, and she didn't even blink an eye. She's like, all right, fine.
She's like, well, I still take these forks. Yeah. So anyway, this all relates to Pretty Girls by Britney Spears featuring Iggy Azalea, directed by Cameron Duddy and Iggy Azalea. Iggy Azalea has been listed as a co-director on like the last four videos she's come out with. What is happening?
Yeah, she was listed as a co-director on Trouble and Black Widow, both directed by Director X, who weirdly enough had a kind of a cryptic tweet this week that said, if you want to be a music video director, be prepared to take direction from people who are less talented than you. That's just the name of the game, so take that as you will. But this video stars Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea. Britney Spears is kind of like a Valley Girl type person. I don't know.
Worse? Keep going.
And Iggy Azalea is an alien who lands in her pool. And then they go around and have some fun in a car. All while singing about pretty girls and how pretty girls are great. And they can make the boys do whatever they want. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's more to it. They're kind of like styled and dressed in 90s clothing. I guess you would call it 90s clothing.
And there's a lot of dancing.
Yeah, there's a lot of dancing.
And they go to a car wash.
They do go to a car wash.
There's like a commercial about a car wash, and then they go to it, and the car wash is full of sexy man who dance, bunch of hunks.
Yeah, hunks, yeah.
And there's some wacky product placement.
For what?
She uses her mutant powers to transform a 90s style phone into a Motorola something.
I think a Samsung Galaxy.
Samsung
S?
Thingy.
Same thing. It doesn't matter.
A phone. They've got its plug in the video.
It's called not an iPhone, is what that phone is called. And it's a Zach Morris phone. So this is where, for me, this music video starts to get kind of problematic. Up until this point, I don't really love this video, but I think I kind of like how it's edited, and I think it could be just a fine pop video. But the not so much the product placement, but just the characters that these four people end up being in this car, really kind of bums me out.
I'm with you because it's this thing. So I was like halfway there with this video. I was like, cool, they're like celebrating being girls and stuff, or you know, whatever. But then I was like really listening to the lyrics, and it's all about pretty girls, and then they get exactly like Adam, what you said, make dudes do whatever they want, and then they get to skip the line at the club. And I was like, all right, well, that's still, they're celebrating women or whatever. And then, but then this middle part comes in and they do the little sketch scene, and they are the There's not even epitome. I don't even know what the word
there's
would
just
be.
Like no, there's no depth to those characters. They're just like the.
But it's even worse because it's like even on purpose dumb.
Right.
Like they're being dumb and they're pretending to be dumb and then they're like celebrating that and it really. Yeah, it's like, I hated it. Like a, oh, I hated it. So
like
bad.
A, like super general or like a stereotype. It's like too stereotypical. Like, yeah, I kind of got that same feeling there. And I think.
And I know that it's on purpose, but still the fact that it's on purpose. And not on purpose to the fact that it's like satirizing these types of women.
Right.
They're like, they're cool with being these types.
Yeah.
Which
right.
is still a character. Like, and, I know like girls like this probably don't.
And I think like the.
Actually exist.
Well, not to this extent. Right. and I think that the. Another issue is that. I think a lot of the issue for me comes from the song. And I feel like this video is kind of. The song is. Pretty shallow, and not to say that like a lot of music isn't, but it's just like just talking about how if you're pretty you can get stuff from people,
yeah,
and
money rain down on you, and literally
and that's like the whole concept of the song. And then you know you're so like I think for a music video you're already kind of like starting from behind
right
with this.
Ugh.
And so
I'm just watching it right in the money scenes on right now and I'm just cringing.
So like no matter what you do, it's like under that context of like this is a song about like how just like physical appearance gets you stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be very happy if I was a non-pretty girl. Like I'm fucking beautiful. Hello. No. But it's like it's not celebrating just women in general, it's just like, oh, pretty.
Right.
Pretty only.
Well, this is the second time that Iggy Azalea has kind of played, like, double top billing with another large, like, very big female star. And the last time this happened was Booty, you know, where she was with Jennifer Lopez. And if I can remember back to then, which was September of last year, we were all, like, very scared for... Azalea's like mental health and well-being
because of
the video, and it felt like it. She just seemed like she was there against her will, like somebody tricked her into signing like a contract to show up, and she was like, I don't want to do this. And you know, she definitely seems to be having fun in this video, which I sure. definitely appreciate.
It's funny that you mentioned the co-top billing because she's kind of been. In addition to that video and this most recent video, her last four videos are Black Widow featuring Rita Ora, where they're kind of like co-stars in that. Fancy with Charlie XCX, Trouble with Jennifer Hudson, and then even going all the way back to 2013, Change Your Life. That's got T.I., which is a little bit different, but like Iggy Azalea is like not doing anything by herself in what they're pushing out there. It's really strange.
That makes sense. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, in the modern era of music where the goal is to sell tickets and to sell things other than music, it
right.
just makes sense to cram as many people into a song as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
But I will say that, in a song that kind of like very tongue-in-cheekly, I think, has a message of like pseudo-empowerment. I mean, the message definitely is, I think, to be taken with a grain of salt. You know, the video kind of, I think, pretty deftly handles that in a way that is able to deflect a lot of, like, criticism by making, you know, Iggy Azalea an alien, by making these other characters so, like, over-the-top stereotypical. You know, it's not like a Meghan Trainor video, like we talked about
right.
Dear Future Husband last year.
Right.
Or last time Andrea was on, where you're watching it and it does have like a streak of earnestness to it. This is definitely like
yeah.
all tongue in cheek, all over the top, which kind of helps deflect that.
And that's what you get a Cameron Duddy. That's what Cameron Duddy like brings to the table for you. He's able to like he's proven himself with really big artists, but he's also proven himself to be able to like be like add that element of humor to a video that's necessary to get away with stuff like this. And I think that like you know for this song you have to get somebody who's gonna be able to do that. I just feel like. I don't know. I was a little irked by the middle portion.
I would have loved to see this if it the full tongue-in-cheek would have happened for me, and like then I would have been down with this video, is like if the girls were normal looking.
Yeah.
If they weren't all beautiful, like model, like absolutely hotties.
Right.
Like then I'd be like, oh, okay. Like if like what if Eric Wareheim would have directed like what if Eric Wareheim directed like this? Eric then Wareheim I'd be person. Like, that is a jam. That's right. A fucking jam.
Sure.
And I'm on board with this.
That definitely would I mean it's not crazy. Eric Wareheim directed the last Charlie XCX video, right. So he can get in those worlds. But
it is a fun like music video to look like to watch. It's like fun. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I think the edit is great.
Yeah, same.
I think the edit is really good. And it's got a great energy to it. And it, you know, it's reluctantly got some fun moments. I was just like, I hate this song so much. I'm sorry. And I was just so like, I wanted to not like this video because of how much I don't like the song. Like, it's not talking about, the lyric isn't all the girls around the world are pretty. It's all the pretty girls around the world. They're like singling pretty girls out to me instead of like saying everyone is pretty.
Also, no girl growing up ever feels pretty.
Oh my God.
So.
And it's Iggy Azalea and Britney Spears. Right. I don't know.
If you're comparing yourself, you're just like, oh shit, I'm screwed.
Right.
I'm never going to cut the line at the club.
Right.
Because I thought that, so I was confused by this because from everything that I had seen, I felt like Britney Spears was going in a different direction from this. Like after this, you know, in this video, for those who haven't seen it, she's like, she's kind of got like Heidi Klum face. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does she almost like bears a weirdly striking resemblance to Heidi Klum, where she
unpack that a little bit.
yeah, because we talked about Heidi, the latest Sia pseudo music video from a few weeks ago featured Heidi Klum in her new underwear line.
Klum's intimates.
Yeah, Heidi Klum's intimates. I mean, Britney Spears is
Doug's wearing them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug gets a special deal from Heidi Klum intimates. how old is Britney Spears? Not that
35? 36?
Yeah.
I'll say 34. Doug, what are you going to say?
17.
You got it.
33.
She is. Oh, she is only. It's weird because she is only 4 years older than Katy Perry, or 3 years older than Katy Perry, which always seems weird to me. She always seemed like so much older because I remember.
Yeah, she started so much younger.
She started in 1999. So even though she's not, you know, really that old, she has always seemed so much older to me.
Maybe more drugs. Like that doesn't help.
Yeah, she went through some shit. But she, you know, she had a turn in her career where she definitely felt like she was embracing, like, first of all, being like a mom. Remember that awful Ooh La La video?
Oh my God. The Smurfs?
The Smurfs one directed by Mark Klasfeld with their kids in it.
Oh my God, that fucking video.
And in like the aftermath of her like 2007-2008 meltdown, I thought that it was kind of where she was going to go. Even the Chris Myers Prolero videos for I Want to Go and Criminal like are definitely toned down in the sexiness, but this kind of like pushes it back up. I guess she has to do that to bring it up to an Iggy Azalea level, who even though I don't think is like would be considered a sex symbol at all, is definitely sexualized.
Yeah, I think I think Iggy Azalea is kind of trying to move away from what she, like she had a song called Pussy before. I think she's trying.
Excuse
to, like,
me. I'm just like,
trying to break away from that a bit. But like this video still feels like part of it is in a strip club. I mean, I'm watching a scene right now with like women dancing on stages. But you're right about like the like them like there's a scene that stands out where like Britney Spears is dancing and the car wash guys point at her butt and she turns around.
Yeah, I noticed that too. They're like really super interested in her ass.
Right.
Which is usually something like which is weird. You don't usually see that a lot. Like if it's like dudes and a girl dancing, they're sort of like you think of like Ariana Grande and her two weird albino twins that she has. There's like a very like platonic asexual relationship with them. And you don't often see like dancers like ogling the main female star that much,
right? But they're the pretty girls around the world.
These guys, even though they were paid and choreographed, they couldn't help themselves.
Yeah,
they're
just
The choreography. No. That's something that you might not know, is that like the looking at her butt was not actually planned or choreographed that way. Right. They just couldn't help it.
Yeah, she turns around and they're like, "Oh my god, a butt! Look at the butt!"
And Cameron saw that and he's like, "You know what? We're gonna leave
this.
You know what? This is real. Sometimes you just gotta keep it real."
And for people that aren't familiar, we should probably mention that Cameron Duddy is maybe most, I mean, he's directed a lot of music videos, a lot of fantastic music videos, but probably most known as Bruno Mars's go-to director ever since the Lazy Song video, the one with the monkey heads, not the one with Leonard Nimoy.
Which is the story that's told in our cartoon.
In the cartoon, yeah. The reason why he started that video, or got that video, which was DP'd by his dad, interestingly enough. But he's directed, you know, amazing videos for Bruno Mars.
Bruno's dad or Cameron's dad?
Cameron's dad, yeah. I don't know who Bruno Mars' dad is.
Jimmy Mars.
Yeah, Jimmy Mr. Mars.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Don't call me Mr. Mars. That's my father.
I was just going to say that. So dumb.
I was like so regretting it
as he was saying it. He rolled his eyes on himself.
Right. And Cameron's been directing a lot of, you know, he's directed some great videos this year. He directed Worth It by Fifth Harmony. I'm a big Fifth Harmony fan. I was glad to see that. Last year directed Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson. Another video that I just recently revisited. I actually made it, Doug, I made it a staff pick because I like that video a lot. So
it's good. Like,
Uptown Funk? Oh, it's a deserving.
It's good. It's fun. It's so fun. Don't tell me you watch that and you don't smile.
I do more than smile.
Yeah, you tap your toe.
Yeah, or like, yeah, do other parts of me move.
What?
Andrea, you like that? You like that video as well?
I do. I like it a lot.
I like the when he says, "Pour my cup, put some liquor in."
Exactly.
It.
Exactly, and the they dance, all
yeah, yes. They're all like shuffling along. It's so
very,
good.
Very, very good. Might be the best part.
The guy like in front of, I don't know who the guy in front of him his name is, but he is shuffling at the same level as everyone else. Everybody's shuffling at the same, just the best shuffling I may have ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also pouring liquor into Bruno Mars's cup.
Skills.
Amazing skills.
He does well at bars, for sure.
And
also not choreographed, but like again, Cameron was like, "Oh my gosh, yeah, this is stays. This is amazing."
And Cameron Duddy amazingly fits Bruno or Mark Ronson into that video pretty amazingly. He could have just had him in the background, but he has him like riding on the hood of that Cadillac. I think in like a really underrated video.
I love it. Yeah, it's a fun. It's a really fun video.
It's hard to say a music video with 625 million views is underrated, but
underrated by Doug Klinger.
All right, fine. I like this video. I'm gushing about it too. What do you guys? Where have you been,
Doug? Why don't you like this?
I like this.
Why are you hating on this video, Doug?
Right.
God.
Everyone stop.
Speaking of Mark Ronson and Cameron Duddy and Bruno Mars. We're talking about them, and it's a pretty amazing segue in another video, which is Feel Right by Mark Ronson, featuring a name that I haven't heard in a while, which is Mystical. And that has also been directed by Cameron Duddy, co-directed by Bruno Mars. Actually, they both share director status. Nobody's a co-director.
Yeah, no, there's no co.
Premise of this video is that it is a school talent show. It looks like a private school.
Holler, because they're wearing.
Oh, I get it.
They've got.
Andrew, did you go to private school too?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was private Catholic school.
Me too.
Even.
Me
too. Yeah. Big ups.
Yo, fuck you guys.
Would say, big ups.
Doug didn't go to Catholic private school.
I didn't. I said, fuck you guys.
Right, and I was saying, as Doug would say, big ups.
Went to private school.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, you went to private school too?
I did. Catholic.
Me too, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh,
French Catholic.
Can you sing some
though.
Catholic songs right now?
No. No.
I can sing French Catholic songs.
Woo! I can do Latin.
It supports public school education.
Doug, you are like totally outnumbered on this right
now.
Oh,
I don't care about outnumbered. I just care about supporting our local teachers' unions.
So it's at a Catholic public school, I'm just going to say.
Where they're getting subpar education.
Yeah, and but there's it's a talent show, which I don't think those still exist, because I think the only talent shows I have seen in the past 15 years have been in music videos.
No, how about that one where the kids are playing Weezer and the kid's piano falls?
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Okay,
that's real. We'll link to that in the show notes. No, we won't.
So all the kids are bored. They all don't want to see this goddamn talent show because it's all a bunch of boring cellos. And then Florence Henderson comes out, makes a nice cameo in this video, comes out and introduces the next act. And she introduces them as Uptown Special,
mm-hmm.
which is the name of Mark Ronson's album
mm-hmm.
that Uptown Funk and Feel Right are off of. And this band comes out, and they have a small black child is the playing the mystical part, and he proceeds to perform as mystical in his little Catholic school uniform.
He does. This is all true. He's pretty great.
Yeah,
this kid is pretty great.
Is this a little Terrio?
No, it is definitely not, Adam. What's wrong with you?
Man, I'm the only one laughed at that joke. I should cut that
out. You definitely should. Although his name is, he does have a name, this kid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know it. But
his nameless, faceless child.
He perhaps has a name.
He's got one.
Maybe we'll find it out.
It's not mystical.
Are you sure this isn't mystical?
No,
I'm just going to go out there and say I'm pretty sure it's actually him.
Yeah, no, this is mystical. He used to have dreadlocks.
Mystical is in this video, though.
Yeah, he's a judge.
One of the judges.
Yeah.
Mystical also retweeted our tweet of this video, and people needed to know that.
Oh, sweet. There we go. Thanks, Mystical.
Thanks, Mystical.
The retweet.
Mystical gives the performance a 10, but he doesn't. I don't believe that he wanted to. He doesn't actually seem as into it as someone who would give this video a 10 would be.
Yeah, he seemed reluctant, actually.
He's a little like Bruno Mars is like, hell yeah, 10. And then he's like, oh, it's my turn. I have a 10.
Yeah.
And then Mark Ronson's like, I am just happy to be here.
Mm.
And also holds up his 10. But Mystical, yeah, a little understated. He's got kind of a weird hat on.
He's playing it cool. There's always that judge that, you know,
but
like
he's Mystical.
The wild card, the judge you never know. Like he's,
yeah, you
he's
don't
very
know where he's at.
Picky, you know, he has high standards. And then he's like, okay, no, you deserve it.
But what, like, where,
the kid's
where's
kind of feeling his thunder, right?
Where is so. Mystical's head at? Where is Mystical's
in
head
a hat?
At?
It's where, in a hat, right there in the middle.
Very true. But like, where is his mind when he needs to act cool in front of an auditorium full of children in ties?
Hmm.
What kind of man?
I mean, I Doug, if you were in front of an auditorium full of children in ties, you'd be pulling a Mystical face right now.
Mm. Doug would be doing an a cappella version of "Shake Your Ass." Which is the only Mystical song I know. I wish it was bad.
Really?
Yeah.
How about any songs that Mystical was a featured artist on?
Like, name one.
Make him say,
rap one. Rap one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Doug will not stop rapping in the Vimeo office. There are times our CEO, Carrie Trainor, came over and was trying to talk to me today, and Doug was rapping so loud that Carrie had to... We had to go somewhere else.
Right. Everyone's like,
and then we sent Doug to HR.
What's wrong with this fucking guy?
Take your rapping to HR, Doug.
And so it's nice that you call it rapping because it's not really. I just kind of just like shout words out. Mm-hmm. It's not really a rap.
So it's Tourette's, basically.
Yeah, right. Essentially.
He wants it to be called rapping.
Right.
Doug, yeah, Doug has been. Doug was fired in January.
I don't really.
He
I don't,
doesn't work here.
I don't have a job.
So
fun that I'm laughing, but I'm very, very poor.
I like.
Stop crying. Stop crying, Doug.
I couldn't go to a private.
Stop
school.
Crying.
How do you get past the guards at the IAC building? I felt like
It's like a little like, all right, so I got to do different moves every time. Sometimes I just wear a mustache.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's three.
Fedora.
Sometimes, yeah, a couple of times it's fedora. Sometimes there's three of me stacked on top of each other with a trench coat.
Just a little this different. Is totally unnecessary because you're a full-grown man. It's just...
Right. They're like, what's going on here? Where did you get other versions of yourself? And I just say is, you know.
You shush them and say, "M'lady."
Yeah, right. Like a m'lady, and I tip the fedora and my fake mustache. Oh man!
I like the fact that I like the band makeup in this video. I like how they pick the kids because they've got like a dude on the drummer, you know, some white kid on the drums, but then they've got like a short-haired blonde kid girl on one of the sax, like one of the I think it's
the trumpet,
the
right?
Trumpet, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one saxophone boy.
Yeah, there's one saxophone boy who's it's like an Asian. It's like a.
What are we doing? Why are we like listing the racial makeup of this band?
I'm just saying that they decided to go full textbook on this.
Okay, you're right.
Diverse.
And they went with a very diverse band, which was kind of fun.
This is an inclusive private school for Catholics, which means that this is a fantasy world.
ooh. Wow. Doug, what are you doing?
Uh-oh. Right HR.
Yeah.
Get him in here. Oh, man.
Man, HR is going to receive a copy, of the uncut copy of this. but yeah, the kid who played the mystical part was amazing. The fact that my favorite part of this video is that all the lights go down and there's kind of like a breakdown. And then when it comes up, he's not in his uniform anymore. He's in... terrible name for this shirt, but
no, it's called the white undershirt.
The white undershirt, right? With gold chains and sunglasses, and the reaction all the children have is to basically all stand up and start sustained clapping for the last 30 seconds of the song.
And it's because he decided to break the rules and not wear his tie anymore, showing individuality. Right, exactly. You know, and he's
so the whole band has or the whole group has different clothes, right? Because there's dancers.
How many demerits do you think he got?
Oh.
For taking his tie off like that.
He was expelled, obviously. I think he was full expelled.
But he got 30 points, yeah, which we're not even really sure what that means. What is this about? What is 30 points?
I mean, he won. He won the talent show.
I know.
And
I
got expelled.
Good on this.
The custodian cry. Like, that's an achievement.
That's true.
Who plays the custodian? I have tried to figure it out, but I can't. I don't know. It's got to be somebody.
I think it's just some man.
It can't be just some guy. Why would they even have that in there?
Because he's funny boy. He's funny.
Okay. I feel like he doesn't know what you're not telling me.
No, what the fuck? I don't know who that guy is.
He kind of looks like Earl from My Name Is.
He's probably just the gaffer.
Yeah, he's probably just the gaffer.
He was the actual janitor doing all of this stuff.
He's best boy.
And he was just like, yo, let's use this.
Yeah, it should have been Mark Ronson in that role.
Cameron saw what was coming through, and he's like, you know what, this is real.
This is it.
Let's go.
Let's keep this going.
But big week for Cameron. We're a big fan of Cameron's work. And these are two huge music videos for this week. I think these is like number one and two on our new music video charts. Number one and three, Ed Sheeran. Yeah. Ed Sheeran's always fucking everybody's shit up. He's at number two.
Eddie Sheeran.
Pretty Girls is pulling like almost six million views for this week. So.
Yeah, despite YouTube's shitty broken fucking API right now.
Yeah, we're working on it, people.
It's not us. I mean, it's not us. When I send YouTube links through chat rooms and like it populates what it says, every video is just like 12 million views.
But people, would link? Are you just sending the YouTube link?
Yeah, if I send a YouTube link like over HipChat.
Really? Okay.
It's still, yeah. It's,
yeah. Ever heard of it? Come on. Hello.
Ever heard of it? Ever heard of Wi-Fi? Let's talk about other things.
So you want to talk about a video that a lot of people who are in the music video know were kind of floored by this week, and that is Senorita by Vince Staples.
Yeah.
Directed by Mr. Ian Ponsjewel, who has been on this podcast.
He has, like Cameron Duddy, like many of the people who've made music videos this week.
Yeah, damn.
We're chalking up the friends.
So good.
We have so many friends.
Directed one of the videos that we named our top 10 videos of 2014, which is Rollerblades by Quez. And this video is for Vince Staples, who I am hoping is going to have some more solo stuff. I think, is this the start? Does he have a solo album out, Doug?
He's got one coming out. This so he had an EP come out at the end of last year, which is really great. It's got a handful of songs, and he's definitely got a LP coming down the pipeline. And this is probably going to be the lead single.
Yeah, because I love. I'm a big fan of Vince Staples.
Vince Staples is awesome.
Every, like, you know, featured verse that he does is always really fantastic. His
Hive
is amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in that video directed by Hiro Murai. So This video excuse me, I'll cut that out. This video is kind of centered around this guy with tattoos all over him. I don't know what, Doug, do you know what the tattoos say? I couldn't really
imagine. Oh, I don't know. They're just all over his body, and they are very intimidating tattoos, like all over his head and face and just full body.
And he's in this sort of like night, like kind of like weird place where there are, you know, giant industrial factories in the background, and then there's this little neighborhood, and he is holding up a book.
You think it's the Bible or something, maybe?
Did it have
it's the meant Vince... to represent the Bible.
Did it have the
Vince... Actually, don't know. Actually,
I mean,
don't
we
know.
Went to Catholic school, so we would yeah, know.
Right, well, you guys...
It's got a logo on it.
Feel free to take ownership over that.
It says Dre Beats on the front.
Yeah.
Beats by Dre, yeah.
What a jerk. Yeah,
oh,
say that.
God.
And you know, he's got this kind of flock of followers behind him, and they keep, like, the kind of like the mystery of the video is why they keep, like, just odd, like, dropping real quick.
Well, they're being shot.
Well, that's what you don't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so you do know that. Oh. I'm sorry. The later. I've seen a different cut of this video, and there's there's blood.
That's what's different about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is in the YouTube version. They had to take all the blood out.
I was wondering why they were just dropping without any.
Yeah,
sort
yeah.
Of...
I'm sorry. So yeah, in the YouTube version, they take all the blood out, but I've seen a director's cut with.
It's private.
It's yeah, and it's
secrets.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot more blood in the director's cut, and Ian is pretty outward. Like every time it's posted somewhere, he's like, "Wait for the director's cut." so that one is going to have. Lots of blood.
Yeah,
so
it's like they're being sniped. You don't see a shooter, and all of a sudden people are just being shot, and they're just dropping on the street.
Yeah, and everyone kind of the people who are kind of following this tattooed guy are kind of they seem like they've kind of been through some shit. I mean, they're kind of dressed differently. One guy's got a suit on. One guy's got like a flannel shirt. One dude's got like a black undershirt on, like they all look differently, but they all look very like weathered, probably from like living under this city where people get shot from far distances suddenly. And
now,
then
you don't see the blood, but you do see like, well, I think it's called a turret shooting at them.
You do you see that event? You see that?
Yeah,
eventually.
Yeah, that's true. Right, but at the very beginning.
Yeah. Right. That eventually is revealed.
And the book does have the Vince Staples logo on it.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. But it still seems like a Bible. It's like a leather book with golden pages.
Right.
And it's like he's preaching, right? The way
right,
that
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think the most powerful – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and not only are these turrets or whatever, they're unmanned. They seem to be like artificial intelligence, just like sniping people out of nowhere. And I think we should talk about the people in the driveways and stuff as well. There's all these kind of menacing characters. There's one lady laying down, and this guy's painting her toenails, and she's got money between her toes instead of cotton balls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these like ladies who are wearing these like crazy revealing kind of like almost like stripper outfits,
and then there's like a cop dressed for like riot
yeah
cop
there's like
here.
A riot cop, and he's protecting this pickup truck.
It's where an El Camino
an El Camino, you're right, where Vince Staples goes and performs the song. He like gets up on this car, and there's a microphone up there, and he goes and raps along to the song up there.
I love the barbecue guy. He's sweet.
Yeah, with the another crazy ass tatted dude with gold teeth, next to him. Like all of the people in the driveway seem pretty intimidating.
Mm-hmm. So then the reveal at the end of the video, I think, is the kind of salient moment where, this dude who, you know, everybody behind him has been sniped by these, you know, automatic gun turrets. And then, all of a sudden we see everybody's faces kind of pressed against glass, which is an interesting effect. And then, you know, this guy who with the tattoos is looking at something, and we don't know what. He's looking kind of past us, and then it pulls back and realizes, and, you know, we see that there's this window to this world that he's just, like, standing at. And there's this family, a father, a mother, and a girl, all white people, all looking pretty happy, kind of sitting on a bench, you know, museum style, looking through this window.
With a frame, and the window's got a frame around it.
Yeah, yeah.
As if this is like a, you know, like artwork or something.
Mm-hmm. Which is,
or a zoo. I almost kind of felt like it seemed like a zoo as well.
Yeah,
like, because of the future. Yeah,
it's like people moving, and they were like, it felt sort of almost. It seems like a museum because people are, like, sitting and looking at this through this frame thing, but I feel like because there was, like,
people,
life moving around, there's these human, like, the scene playing out, it was, like, almost zoo-like as well.
Totally.
And I love how the music changes up. They throw in a different little instrumental track at the end for the reveal, and it almost feels like a Hitchcockian reveal. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, because the music they throw in at the end is like classical, straight classical music.
Right, right, right.
And like, so the first time I watched this video, I just thought, I mean, it's relatively short. It's 3 minutes and 27 seconds, and there's just so much going on and so much to unpack.
Totally.
And none of it really seems very clear. There's no, like, you know, the metaphor of, like, people, like, watching other people in a zoo or, you know, like atmosphere is relatively straightforward, but everything else about it is just like, you know, credit to Ian Spahn's Jewel for, you know, encapsulating all of this in a really kind of interesting metaphor where, like, nothing really seems, like, very obvious or clear, but you kind of get, like, an idea. You're like, oh, I'm seeing different things and making different connections. I see a police in riot gear. I know what that means. Or, a neighborhood under siege. I know what that means. But there's no, like, you know, like, fuck the government, fuck the police kind of, like,
no,
saying to it.
I will say, though, that, like, it does seem to kind of, I think I can make, like, a connection with every element. And I, if you, like, Vince Staples' music, like, this to me is, like, a very perfect song or video for Vince Staples. Like, Vince Staples is a fuck the police rapper. And if you listen to the Hell Can't Wait EP, there's a song called Hands Up, which is just, like, you know, it's like essentially, you know, NWA 2015. Like, he's very, like, fuck the police kind of level. And I think you can kind of, like, fill in, like, a complete narrative here if you try to. But
yeah.
I think it's also one of those videos where, like, it's kind of, it's not necessary if you're not able to do that. And you can kind of just kind of let, like, make those individual connections and still have it kind of make sense. But I do think that there's, like, an overall kind of story connecting.
And I also think that the glass is a really, really interesting. I mean, one, it's a very, like, you're in this video and you're kind of getting surprised because crazy stuff's going on. But then the element of, like, people hitting glass and not being able to, one, escape, two, get through it, see what's on the other side, seemingly, like, they should be able to. And I guess at the end, the guy kind of is looking through it. But, like, that is also, as a metaphor goes, so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you've got this, I mean, and I think it does bear meaning, a white family sitting on one side of this glass, viewing this thing. They don't seem nervous about it. They're kind of, like, viewing it from afar. They're, like, safe in their home, sort of feeling. They're not in a house. But you've got that. And then you've got these people who are on the other side running up against that glass and then being immediately stopped in their tracks or shot or, right. you know, like it's a very, I really, the glass is what made this video go from like, oh, this is really cool to like, I'm going to watch this video like once a week for a couple weeks now. Like I just, it's a really, really good video.
And I think that another thing you can kind of take from it with the folks on the other side of the glass is like, it, you know, if you look at, you know, the way people are kind of understanding all of the kind of unrest that are, that is going on with, certain, you know,
today, it's like yeah, today's time.
Right.
Like,
and is- so there, people are taking that in through television, through media, all of that stuff is through a glass, through a perspective. And, you know, like in a museum, people are, you know, trying, like they have opinions on what they're looking at, even though they're completely separate from it. And I think it's not, I think the way that people look in this video is also intentional. Like, you know, they, people throw around these terms like thug and stuff when they're talking about the people who are being, you know, engaging with police and are, you know, like kind of pushing back against oppression. But like they don't, they still don't deserve to be like shot in the middle of the streets by some just like unresponsible person.
Party, yeah.
And, you know, and the fact that like these people, like some of the people in this video are like super menacing, but like some of the people aren't, but they're all kind of like lumped in together. Like all of that stuff seems very, very deliberate to me.
Yeah, and it kind of could be speaking as well to just like the ratings grab that the coverage of all these police shootings has for us people, like, you know, just kind of watching from home, kind of restating the same thing you guys are saying. But I just thought of it in terms of ratings, how these white people are just kind of tuning in for entertainment. Right,
yeah. Totally.
And it's also really interesting how like, the people who are sitting on the bench, their reaction to what they're watching, they're not like looking at it. They're not like looking at it and they're staring at it. Or it's not having any like impact on them. They're like more like kind of like hugging and like
yeah.
showing their daughter like you would if you were like, oh, this is very educational. Like, can you believe you're seeing this?
Yeah, like if you were at like SeaWorld and
yeah,
like
exactly.
the whale swam by and like looked at you.
And it's just like an interesting, you know we had the video from AG Rojas a few weeks ago, the Run the Jewels video where the, you know, the kid and the cop kind of, you know, beat the crap out of each other in the street
right.
that had its own interesting message to it. And this does as well, but it adds that other element of like contextualizing it and saying like, you know, here's who's watching and here's how like unconcerned they are about what's going on. Here's how they view that. You know, they're viewing it through a window and, you know, for the people like in the world of this video, like there's absolutely no help or no like salvation whatsoever.
Right. Like seemingly these people in this place like could be refuge. Or could be some kind of support, but they're not. They're just chilling and laughing.
Yeah, there's no communication between them. They're completely separate, and it's a great.
It's dark.
Just a, so I mean, yeah,
super dark. It does feel like kind of like Ian has always had like some dark slants to his video, but they've always also come with like some lightheartedness and some humor. This feels like a little bit. Raw and a little bit different than some of Ian's previous work, and I'm kind of into this direction.
He almost always has, like you mentioned though, Doug, sort of the multiple layers and how it kind of functions on the surface. But then if you want to dig, you can. That's definitely what Ian
totally.
Does best.
But there's no like, there's certainly no lightheartedness in this video. Whereas like even.
There can be, though, even that video.
Oh, where?
I don't know. I feel like it does both. It's definitely dark, but it's kind of humorous in a way as well. Like, I mean, the characters are kind of funny, like the barbecue guy.
I guess. But like, I feel like I don't know that those dudes. I guess I wouldn't call it humorous, but they are definitely like characters. This feels like an Ian Pons Jules video, but it also feels like it's just like a kind of a shift in direction slightly.
So we should talk about another video.
I want to definitely make sure we talk about this Black English Another Life video.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Speaking of
people who've been on this podcast.
Yeah, speaking of people who've been on this podcast, Black English used to be called No. Which is one of those, you know, I always kind of like in the back of my head kind of grumble at bands who have like ungoogleable names.
Right.
Like if they're, you know, if you like called your band like Best Restaurants in Topeka or something like that, you know, it's just a terrible thing.
I love that band. Why do you gotta talk shit on my favorite band, Best Restaurants in Topeka?
That's such a good band name.
But I think it's also like the name No is short enough to like not like, I know, you know, I'm a web developer, so I know like a lot of like searches are triggered to like not even let you search for anything under 3 characters.
Yeah.
So it's just like a terrible name on like in the internet age, it's a terrible name on all fronts. So they've changed their name. Like we have a video that Ryan Reichenfeld directed in the database for Stay With Me.
Fantastic video.
Yeah, with the Crash Test Dummies, and we renamed it to Black English. So, I guess so Black English
across the board.
Yeah, and you know Zach Stoltz has been on this podcast. He directed by Closer by Tegan and Sarah. He worked on Closer by Tegan and Sarah.
He co-directed the Joy Waves Tongues video with Daniels. He directed that what's the one with that Run River North video to Fight to Keep with that one dude Diedrich Bader from the Drew Carey Show.
Man, good.
And he's on Veep now.
Yeah, and from Veep.
Nice.
He's on Veep now.
Oh, he's on Veep. I haven't seen that. Okay.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Spoiler.
He's good though.
So Zach talked about this video a little bit while he was on. I think he mentioned it while he was on the podcast with us. This video has a very interesting backstory. It was made in 2013. This is actually the very first video Zach Stoltz ever directed, and it was shelved by No. It was made when the band was called No. It was shelved momentarily. Then Zach released it several years later as an unofficial.
On his own, though, right?
As an unofficial video. And then not too long later, the band decided to officially premiere it and essentially readopt the video that they paid to make as their own. But the video, which is fantastic, I love this video so good. Is a music video about this music video, but in the video the band's name is No, so slightly confusing. It still works, I think, but slightly confusing.
The premise of the video is ridiculously stupid, and I will only it'll take in a good and great fantastic way, but I'll just briefly explain it. There's a music video by a band called No. That is apparently the saddest music video in the world, and everybody watches it, cries. There's a company.
They are bawling.
Uncontrollable bawling. Yeah.
Yeah. Public. Private. Anywhere.
And the ads that have been bought on this video are for a company that, the best I can tell, are selling plans to make shacks. It's so ridiculous. And then like all these people who are like upset about this video like all get the same idea to go out and build shacks, and all of their shacks are terrible can't like stand up. It is like one of the weirdest premises for a music video I think.
But it's so ever I love heard. It works so well. And Zach Stoltz is so good. I don't know if I said his name wrong, and then it sounded like I just said a sound.
You said it all right, and then you stopped.
I know, because I'm weird.
I'm zany. I'm wacky.
I'm a wacky guy. I just say words again. He's really great at putting heart, getting heart into music videos. And so this is like, it's hilarious and it's ridiculous. And the whole time you're laughing and people are like warming up their like hammer swing and like dropping sandwiches on the ground and doing all of these like, just like stupid jokes, but it's got so much like earnestness and heart to it and like joy as well. That it like, for some reason just works. It just works brilliantly, I think.
I agree. There is a point. For some reason, like, everybody, the first half of the video makes a point to say, like the breadth and depth of people that are, like, saddened by this video. There's, like, kids and, like, women and you know, like biker gangs and stuff that are all... But then the only people that apparently, like, get it in their head to go build these shacks are, like white dudes.
There's a couple other versions of dudes, but it is just like this handful of guys.
Yeah.
Like this handful of idiots.
And the thing that brings them down are like all of their significant others, it looks like.
Right.
Like just like getting pissed off. And like, they're not even.
Their shit.
Who is profiting from these? Like, I guess the company is selling plans to build a shack, but everybody seems to be getting like driftwood and pieces of other structures. And
one dude does go to Home Depot, and he's doing a good job with his place, but then his wife just tears it apart. Mm-hmm. She just rips it to shreds. And I think they stole those shots. I think the Home Depot shots. They just brought a Red camera into Home Depot and wheeled it around.
Yeah.
Very chill.
Super chill. Well, we're almost at time, but should we pick one more video to talk about?
Yeah,
hold on. Can we just read the ad that they see real quick?
Yeah.
Because I think it's really, really...
Oh, yeah, please.
The ad actually says, and it's a sponsor, it's like, so it's a YouTube-ish, you know, fake YouTube video, and an ad pops up. Feeling sad? Build something at Tony's Lumber. We'll help you nail it. And it's so good to think about. I just like thinking about a video that like blows up and then somebody is fortuitous enough to like have an ad on that video and then it leads to this whole like other disorder that happens. Like people get building disorder.
Right.
Yeah,
and then like it makes something that's bad already more worse. And it's just so good. Anyway, yeah, we should talk about another one. But that video is amazing.
It's just it's the concept is just insane idea plus people crying at computer screens.
Yes.
Equal the best video of the week.
And I can't believe Black English, formerly No,
said
no. They said no.
I know.
That's because that's what their name was.
Right.
They were actually just saying their name.
Yeah.
And
they're like, we love this video.
And Zach didn't understand.
No. Right.
Zach thought they were saying no to the video, but they were just saying
their
name.
He just didn't send it. He's like, yeah. I don't want it.
They said no.
Weird.
I would make they said no the title of this podcast, but another podcast episode is already called They Said No.
We already have that as a title. it could be They Said No Part 2. so should we
Fjords. I want to talk about the Fjords.
That was the one I was going to go to. Adam, please describe this insane video for us.
God, this insane video.
It's great. So let's see if I can break this down. So what's going on in this video is the song's called All In, and it's directed by some names that are hard to say. Linn Klungsthe Johansson and Øystein Moe. I think I got that.
Nope.
So this video takes place in the 80s. And the central character is a young boy, and the video opens with him in his bedroom surrounded by like some actual toys from the 80s. He has some Star Wars toys. He has the Gremlins character.
Mogwai.
His name is escaping me.
Mogwai.
He's not a, well,
he is he a
has an actual name as well.
Gizmo.
Anyway, Gizmo. So, not really important, but what the boy does is he sets out on a little journey armed with his Nintendo console strapped to a backpack, and he has his Nintendo, oh my god, what is that called?
Cartridges. The cool gun.
You should have done this, Adam.
No, the cartridges?
No, the actual gun.
That's just a Nintendo Entertainment
System. Oh, it's a Duck Hunt gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll call it the Duck Hunt Gun. It has an actual name, but I can't remember it. So he comes across this group of, tougher older boys who are drinking beers. And what's that?
Oh, and it's the NES Zapper.
Oh, there he is. The NES Zapper. And these boys are bullies.
Or NES
Zapper.
Bullies. Yeah, yeah.
Nintendo came out in 1989, by the way. So maybe this is 90s styled.
This is 80s, I think.
Well, I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that Nintendo came out in 1989.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
So maybe no, they didn't. Just made it.
It did.
It couldn't have.
We just Googled.
Well, how did that happen then?
No. That hold on. Happen. It came out in 1985.
Should we fight?
Yeah.
Let's fight about it.
It says...
Because I had a Nintendo before I was nine.
I said 80. I said 89.
Yeah, it would have been 9. I feel like I had one before. Maybe not.
Anyway.
No, 85.
Anyway.
85. Anyway, 85. Back to the thing.
Back to the premise. So what happens is we quickly see that the boy is going to kind of launch an attack on these bullies and using the gun. So he kind of loads up these game cartridges, which give him, different kinds of weapons to choose from, depending on the title of the cartridge. But the surprising part is that where I thought that we were going to get like some really cheesy, maybe 8-bit kinds of effects and like people wouldn't actually be getting hurt. He actually is like shooting these people. So it's like the Nintendo gun is like actually like the first guy gets shot right in the head and it's like fairly graphic and there's blood and stuff. And that
he's
really surprised
these people. It becomes murder.
Exactly. So yeah. That part really surprised me. And I really thought it was effective and it wasn't where I thought things were headed. It's a super good video, and I like everything from 1989, so this is really great.
I was a little troubled by the level of violence in this video. I'm not really sure I know why this kid is murdering these people. I don't know if they do a great job setting that up for us.
They don't really.
He just like shows up. The kid kind of like doesn't even really get in his face. Like he kind of just laughs at him, and then he shoots him in the head.
Point blank
in the head.
Straight up.
This is
murderizes the guy.
I was very entertained by this video, but like also like pretty well, troubled by
it. I think
it.
I just kind of wanted what I would have liked is a little. I wanted to be on this kid's side. I think you're supposed to be on this kid's side for sure because the guys on the bench and hanging out are jerks for sure. But like you want to be on this kid's side, but when I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, but why did he tell me why he shot them?
Why is he murdering
I need to
everybody.
Know why this I can feel okay with this. And maybe that's the point though. Maybe I don't know. Like I don't know what the story is behind it, but like I don't know. And so when they didn't give me a reason to like the guy, then all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, is this a video that's like speaking out against violence in video games? Because I hate that. I love playing video games. Grand Theft Auto, I don't know how many hours of my life I've spent like doing the most insane, crazy stuff to people in that game. Like disgusting, horrible, horrible, disgusting stuff.
But you would never murder bullies.
No, no. But like, and that's sort of the thing where I'm just like, okay, is this? I don't like hearing people be like, oh, if you play violent video games, then that makes you you're going to be a violent person or whatever. Because I don't believe that. So one, I was like, is this video is it really? It's not saying that. It can't say that. But it leads me all of a sudden. It started me down that path because I was like, but wait, this kid doesn't. We didn't establish a reason for him to be so angry that he needs to go murderize.
Right. And I feel like if it was 8-bit action or if he just like shot the gun and like some other effect happened where like the
like
dudes,
the Mario bullet.
Yeah, and like out, the or... dude's like just like particleized or something like that or just like disintegrated, I would be a little bit more comfortable with it, but it is just like super in your face like but it, gory violence, and that was weird to me.
It wouldn't be as effective, though, if they just disintegrated. I think the fact that it gets us talking and sort of creates those questions
makes it better. About, we talk about music videos. That's what we do. But
it gets some people
talking. Getting asked the question.
And I think it's really well made. And like I said, I was really entertained by it. And like it's fun, but it's just like it is really violent. People are like running for their lives from this kid, and he's like blowing their car up from a distance in bloody ways. And yeah, part of it just made me feel uncomfortable.
It's no more violent than what's that other video where the kids are they're shooting each other and it's like an animated violent style.
But that's animated. That's the thing. It's juiced up. It isn't any more violent, but I'm way more comfortable with that. And that is it's Tropical, the Greeks, right, directed by Megaforce. That's a fantastic video, and I'm more comfortable with that because I watch that video and what I feel like I'm watching is kids who are playing with toy guns.
And this is their imagination.
Yeah, the animation is their imagination. When I watch this video, I see a kid who's figured out how to use his Nintendo to murder people and then does. Knifed with the cartridge.
Like, it could also be sort of just like a grim fantasy. He's obviously not killing people with a Nintendo zapper, right?
So if they were to put something like that in there that establishes that, like maybe as this stuff is going on, you know, intercut clips of him playing these games or something like that.
Or at the end, everybody's still alive and it was all in his head.
Yeah, or something like that.
Twas but a dream.
Adam Fairholme, you've been a little silent here on this video. Where are you at?
I've been
this?
A little silent because you guys have been packing in the words.
We're jacking it in.
I had the exact same thought that you guys did where I was like, Jesus, this got like real right, quick. Because, you know, I was reading through some of the YouTube comments and like they're like, you know, I'm all for not bullying, but like these bullies really weren't doing anything. I think the second time I watched it, I did notice that a lot of them had baseball bats, which I guess could be an indication that they are some sort of gang that has done damage before. Like, if you look at
or baseball players,
yeah,
well, they're also in a park. They're also in a park.
Like the guy who's next to the main guy who gets shot first has a baseball bat kind of waiting, and then the next guy that gets shot has like pulls out a baseball bat almost immediately. So there are some like little mini hints.
But then there's also scenes.
Makes me wonder if like this video had some sort of lead-in that then maybe got it? Cut. Yeah,
maybe, because gosh, there's a scene with a kid on the ground and a grown man on top of him choking him out with a wire,
and you're like, "Whoa,
this just shit is real."
I think Doug was with me when I was watching this earlier today, and I at that moment I was like, "This is heavy."
Yeah, it's heavy.
Hell
yeah.
Choking out a child. A Nintendo cord.
And there is some sort of element of like fantasy, like if you're a kid that doesn't really have a lot of agency but you happen to be like good at video games or whatever, which I think was the experience of a lot of like kids like this in the 80s, like there is this little moment before he goes into murder all these people in cold blood, that he's like playing, you know, he plugs in the thing to the controller and he's like pressing the buttons on the controller like by rote memory and activating something. It's sort of this fantasy like, oh, I'm so super good at this that I'm just gonna like blow all these people away. But it does meld it with like that realism element that makes it that I wouldn't have been like as compelled by this video if it had been like, you know, 8-bit coins like shooting at people's heads.
No, you're right. That stuff makes it compelling, but it also makes it a little like
it's disturbing. It's very disturbing. Yeah. And the fact that I don't know if he killed the hot dog kid at the end or if he
know he's just eating that hot dog and walking off.
Yeah, it kind of makes. And the first time I watched it, I was like, "Oh, that's funny. He didn't kill them." But then the second time I watched it, I'm like, "Oh shit, he killed him."
Yeah, also, isn't it burning in the background, or is that a car? I think it's the hot dog stand, right?
I think it's the stand.
He murdered the hot dog guy for no reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he's such like I don't even know why I'm mentioning this, but like the kid has some like dead weird, like he has a 1,000-yard stare. I don't know. Whatever. Right. Whatever. I know, like, when they cast kids and stuff, like, 9 times out of 10, we ask people, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's just some, like, guy's little brother that was around. But this kid looks like a psycho. I don't know. But,
right.
Yeah, and maybe that's the point. They're treading into, like, 80s horror, and maybe this kid is, like, a young serial killer in the waiting.
Or maybe it's like what Andrea said, and it's about violence in video games.
Better not be. Come on.
And it's funny that the YouTube, like, the still for this is Gizmo from Gremlins.
Yeah.
Gremlins right. 2. You guys, Gremlins are Gremlins 2.
No.
You gotta take
one.
They're both are fantastic movies. Both are good for different reasons.
Yeah.
Andrea, Gremlins
well,
2.
Well, it's been... okay.
Gremlins 2 is
perfectly
is in
honest,
New York.
It's been so long
Gremlins
since I've
in
seen
New
it,
York.
And it's also because I was so afraid of this movie when I was little. Like, I thought I was terrified of the Gremlins.
Really?
And I still have a little bit of, like, an aversion to them. Like, I don't. I'm sure if I watched the movie now, I'd be fine. But
I hope so.
I really, really had issues about
Gremlins. Are you
scared
of E.T., Andrea?
I'm only afraid of E.T. when he's in the ditch and the, like, raccoons eating him. No. You guys remember that? He's like,
yeah.
His body's all white and he's hurt and he's in
yeah.
the ditch. That was the scariest shit. No, I like E.T. as like healthy E.T., but when he and Elliot are hurt, like, that's not cool, and that freaks me out. So, that raccoon.
Yeah.
It is a sad, terrifying.
It's a complex
movie.
Answer.
He's in the ditch.
He's yeah.
Get E.T. out of the ditch.
I'm tearing up.
But E.T. drunk was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Adam Alexander drunk is horrifying.
Oh, so. No, it's great. I become E.T.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't get
healthy
wet.
Healthy E.T. or E.T.? Wait, no, that's
yeah, my fingers are glowing, and I'm healing shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Instead very of phoning cool. home, he phones ex-girlfriends.
No, he phones into this podcast.
Yeah. Adam Alexander phone podcast. Skype podcast. I gotta go with number two, the Gremlins in New York. I think it's superior in a lot of ways. I feel like they really expanded the scope of the first Gremlins movie, but they also added on a lot of value. I gotta go.
It's
Gremlins
the funnier of the two. It goes
it is,
more. Calm.
Yeah.
Like, and you guys weren't afraid of Gremlins at all.
No way. But remember the Gremlin the trench coat that exposes himself. That was pretty funny.
He'll be on the podcast next week.
Yes.
So I think we did it, you guys. I don't know.
Feels like
there was only four music videos that came out this week. We talked about each one of them.
Every video, we talked them.
Andrea, thank you for joining us a second time.
Well, thank you guys so much for allowing me to hang out and talk music videos. I have such a good time on this.
Nice. And pretty. You and yeah, this is your second time, so Doug will hand you a punch card.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
And
your
fifth time.
Did I get that $10 bill to send right back to you guys?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We just send it back and forth over and over again. It's a weird, but it works, and everybody profits in the end.
I get Subway stamps. You guys are keeping those for
this year.
Mm. So the 10th podcast is free. So just keep a hold on to that card, Andrew.
I will. Thank you.
Keep me your pocketbook.
We'll see you guys next week.